Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But over the last few weeks, we've been asking the all-important question of now what? So Jesus, he has left his disciples once again after he rose from the grave, and the disciples are now left to do the work. But there's that all-important question, well, now what? Like, how do I do this? What does this look like? And so then we're going to get to the next part of the story and what this looks like. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now, when I was planning this sermon out, I was like, okay, we're going to start with these 5-6 verses. Very simple, very small, but a lot of information. And so I was going to take us over here on what the church is and how to identify who we are and God and all that stuff. And as I'm writing and I'm 30 pages in with just these 6 verses, I said, I got to cut this off. Otherwise, we're going to be here for a couple hours. So we're not going to do that, I promise. But we're going to go ahead and just really break down everything that's being said here in Acts 2, 42 through 47. So this is the gathering of the first church. Everything that we do here on a Sunday, it all started and it stemmed from this gathering here. We know that the numbers of believers have grown to a crazy amount, so it's not just 12 guys that are meeting together, because right before this verse that we read, it talks about how in one day, 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus on that one day alone. So this is a huge group and a huge community. But what does the church look like for them? That's what we're trying to figure out. Because they had to start something new that's never been done before. But if you know anything about church at all today, even a little bit, you know today's church services is going to have a few things that you're going to get almost in every single Christian building that you go into. So you're going to have one piece that's going to be some sort of singing or music or praise. And then there's going to be someone who speaks, and hopefully they're speaking from the Bible. Okay, that's what we want from the Christian church, is that usually some singing and praise and worship, and then we're going to get the Word of God in that way. And so there's this commonality that happens when you attend a church service. Well, these people here, they're inventing church as we know it today. But it was a lot more organic and a lot less of an organization like we have today. Now, the church that we do have today, I want you to know it's not a bad thing. It's not wrong the way we do it. It's just a little different. And it's one of those things where they didn't have a clue how to do it, so it just happened. Now, today we have put different things in place and the way that we run things. Yes, there are things that are great, and yes, there are problems, but that's what happens when you get a group of people together. We cause problems. And so what we need to do is understand what was the point. What were they meeting for? And these verses don't completely spell out what everything looked like, but the idea is there. And the first thing we have to understand is, what is the church? And many people have heard this before, and maybe this is new to you, but there are two things that we talk about when we say the church. And the first one is the building. So on a Sunday morning, you're getting up to go, and someone says, where are you going? You're saying, I'm going to church. You're heading to this specific place. You may even say, I'm going to Buckeye to worship in the sanctuary there. I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee at church and talk with my friends at church. And so this is the church organization. And now as we go through this, we see, though, that the church itself is not just a building. And the reason we definitely understand that in today's culture is because when 2020 happened, and COVID was happening, and they said, you cannot meet in your building, did we cease to exist to be the church? And the answer is no. We were still the church. But man, we were itching to get back. We were wanting to be together. But the truth is, the church itself is the people. So you are the church. I am the church. Anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ, you are the church and what's called the church body. And as we read these two things, they are one. And so we have the people are the church, and the gathering together is also the church. But as we read through these verses, it starts off with this really important piece of the puzzle about being a follower of Christ. And it's something that we kind of just gloss over, and we don't really do this anymore, but it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Okay, think about that word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. And so I always have this question asked me, what did they teach? Because we have the Bible here. They didn't have the whole New Testament when this was starting. So what were they teaching? Well, it's going to sound kind of obvious. They would actually take the Old Testament that we know today. That was the Bible they had. They would take all of those pieces of the puzzle and they would connect them together. They would take the prophecies. They would take the history. They would take the names. Everything that is in God's Word that we know is the Old Testament, they would teach on that. And then they would take Jesus' teachings and show them how it all flows together, how it all works as one. And so what they would do is they would also talk about what happened in front of them personally with Jesus, the miracles they have seen. They had eyewitness accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection. What they were doing is they were talking from their experience, from what Jesus taught them. And so I don't know if you know, but that sounds kind of familiar. That's exactly what we are doing here today. We take the Old Testament, we take the New Testament, we take all of God's Word, and we bind them together. But it was a little different for them because it was eyewitness for them. They said, I was there. I saw it happen. And so I'm going to burst some bubbles here because I understand that I am the one that's preaching and teaching here, but you have to know, I am not an eyewitness to Jesus' teachings and miracles, okay? I know that hurts some of you, and you're like, no, you weren't there. No, I wasn't there, okay? But that's okay. And the reason it's okay is because they wrote it down. It's here. That's what our New Testament is. It's what they saw, what they taught, what they heard. And we have these writings from Scripture right here for us to use, meaning that we have the New Testament to teach, which means we are doing the exact same thing that they did 2,000 years ago, how the church started. But then we have that word again, devoted themselves to this. It's so important because it wasn't, oh, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and read this when it's convenient, when I have the time for it. It wasn't, oh, as I see fit. It's not like, oh, you know, I got a lot going on. I'll get to it another day. I'm pretty tired. I'm not going to do that. No, they didn't say, you know what? It's a drizzly Tuesday, so I got nothing better to do. Let me go ahead and read the Bible. No, that's not what happened. It says they devoted themselves to it. And that's because they understood the importance of what this is. You have to understand the importance of God's Word. The Bible here literally is everything. It's what matters. This is the truth. This is a guide in your life. This is a comfort for when you're down. This is what's going to give you peace. This is what's going to lead you, because this is words from God for you. This book here is everything. And the first church, they knew how important this was. Hence why they devoted themselves to it. Now, we can devote ourselves to a lot of things. And so I was trying to think of what is something that's really popular for people to devote themselves to here in America. In America, we love to devote ourselves to work. We will work ourselves to the bone. 12 hours, 14 hours. People that are in the service industry that are out there as firefighters, you're talking 48-hour shifts. We work. That's what we do. We eat some food, and what do? We sleep and do it all again. Because that's what we have a devotion to. And you can see the payoff of this devotion. You may move up into the ranks and have more responsibility. You can be put in charge of more. You become so skilled at this thing that you're in demand. And then they reflect it in your pay and say, you're worth this much. And so we devote ourselves because the goal is at the end, we want to hand it all over. We want to retire and collect that money and said, I did all this work and now I'm here to enjoy my days. And there's nothing wrong with devoting a portion of your life to your job. But let's be honest, when it's all said and done, and you look back, and you devoted your life to work, and it's over, a lot of people are felt empty, unfulfilled. And they say, what do I do now? I know too many people that say, I never want to retire because I don't know what to do with my life. And I say, you got to devote yourself to something that matters. And what matters more than anything is devoting yourself to God's teachings. And so you have to ask yourself, on a scale of everything in your life, where does your devotion to God's word lie? Is it in the top? Or is it number one? Is this like what you devote yourself to? Is reading God's word? Or is it maybe like third? Or like 10th? Is it like 100th? Like, I got a lot of things I got to take care of first. Well, the early church and its members, they understood that this scripture is what matters more than anything else. It's life. And it's so important, and we need that as well. We need to have that same longing. And so I'm going to open up a little bit about who I am and some of the things with my personality. Some say that I have this addictive personality. So when I find something that I like, something that I would say is fun, I want to do that thing again and again. Okay, not just once. So if we went out and had a good time, I'm like, let's go tomorrow. Let's go to next day. And I want to go over and over. It's on my brain. I'm like, man, that was so much fun. We had a great time doing this. It's on my heart. And I'm like, oh, wouldn't this be great? And I just say, let's do it again and again. And this can be with so many different things. Sure, you know, like video games, if I'm really enjoying it, I'll be sucked into that for a while and then I'll realize I'm wasting my life. But it's one of those things that it does. It sucks you in. But there are other things too. Like if I find a beautiful hiking trail and it's just gorgeous out and I had a great time, I want to go again. And I want to go again. And I want to go again. Well, as followers of Christ, this here, this should be what we're addicted to. This should be what we go, I need this. This is wonderful. This is great. This is something that's going to change me. And it's going to help me in my life. And it makes me feel good. And when they heard the truth, the disciples, those who found the truth, what they do, they hit the ground running. It wasn't just words. It was truth. The excitement had to be there. When they were heard about Jesus Christ, they heard about a Savior. They heard about a God that loves them so much that He would sacrifice His one and only Son. They're going, I need more. A little bit's not enough. Give me more. And so they devoted themselves daily. And they would say, so what else did Jesus say? Well, what did Jesus say about this topic? And what other things did He do? And they would say, well, how does the book of Isaiah show us that Jesus is the Messiah? Connect those dots for me. And they would say, I know I have a job, the Great Commission. I'm supposed to go out there and spread the news. How do I do this? And so they met every single day. They had a thirst for it. They wanted it. And we need to get back to that as a church. We need to thirst for the truth as well. It's not about what the church can do for you, but to draw closer to God and understand what He wants for us and from us. But they also devoted themselves to a couple other things. So in verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So fellowship means to gather with other Christians and hang out, to talk with one another, to share life, to build relationships. And they did this through discussing the teachings, discussing their lives. And it says they also broke bread, which is just sharing a meal. And then it says to prayer. And we should be praying with one another. Not just for one another, not just saying, I'll pray for you. But I mean to truly stop what you're doing and pray together. But for some reason, we become afraid to pray out loud with one another. We're afraid, well, what if I say something dumb? What if I say something wrong? Or I don't have the words. I can't put things eloquently. So, you know, I don't pray with people because it's just going to sound ridiculous. And we just overcomplicate things. And I'm like, guys, stop getting in your head. What are you doing when you pray? You're going to talk to God. And He's listening. And you get to do it together. So what we need to do is stop being afraid, gather with one another and say, hey, let's pray. And then you guys just start talking to God together to share our hearts with one another and God. And when you read these verses, it's such a simple and beautiful version of what the church is. But it didn't end at verse 42. So verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So we get to see that first, people loved God. They're taking in the Word of God and they're trying to follow God and they devoted themselves to His Word, to His guidance, and knowing Him more. And then what they did was love their neighbors as themselves. You may have heard that once or twice when we go through the Bible here. Now I know it says that they had everything in common. And so this can be taken wrong in English, okay? When we read that, we're like, they had everything in common? How is that even possible? You're talking thousands of people had everything in common. Are you kidding me? I can tell you 10 people that don't like music, but they had everything in common, right? No, that's not what it's saying, that they just all had the same likes and dislikes. No, this is saying down to their core, to their inner being, that they're all in agreement. That everyone understands that Jesus is King, that God is Lord of all, and what they want to do is they want to follow God and serve Him as best as they can. It's not that they all had the same likes and dislikes, but they all had one major thing in common, and that's that they know that God is real and Jesus is His Son. And one of the ways that we can see them serve one another is that they gave to anyone who had a need. And they would find out ways to help. It says that they sold property and possessions. And again, we get this confused, and I've had some interesting thought processes brought to me about this. And so they said, wait, this doesn't make any sense to me, because if you look at it, and as Christians, so they sold their homes and they sold their stuff, and then they were left in need, so then do they have to have the next person sell their stuff to give to me, who's now in need because I gave my stuff away? What? And I was like, that's weird. Okay, that's an interesting thought process to go through. And I'm like, no, you're misunderstanding. This is not to sell everything you own and live on the streets, unless for some reason that is the calling in your life. I have actually known people that have gotten rid of everything they own and they went out to be a missionary and they just gave it all up. Sure, that can happen. But this is not what they did here. That's not what the first church did. They saw that God had blessed them. Bless them to the point that they said, yeah, we have some material wealth here. But as God calls us to love one another and help those in need, they decided that their stuff that they have here, the things that they are been given and blessed with, this is not the goal, just to gather more. It was actually to go and use what God has given us to bless others and glorify Him. And this is what it means to give God your all. Devoting yourself to His teachings so we know what God wants for us and from us, and then to have it placed on our hearts to give back, because God gives us so generously. And there are multiple ways that you can give. You can give your money. You can give things. You give to those who are in need. Let's make sure that word is used too. It's not, oh, well, he's got a nicer car than me and I want a nicer one, so please sell your stuff for me. Okay, no, this is a need. Nobody went hungry. Nobody was homeless. Everybody had what they needed in this life, all because these followers of Christ said, this is what God's calling us to do. But you have to understand, this is not just for what you consider the rich. Too often I hear, well, I can't give anything because I don't have anything extra that I can give. We look at the guy that has 10 cars and we say for him to sell 5 is not a big deal, so he should take care of all that. No, I want you to know this is for all followers of Christ. We are called to give, not just out of what we say is excess, but to give what God has put on your heart where God is pulling you. We talk about offerings and tithes here, and I've preached on it before. Giving here is an awesome and amazing thing. It helps to grow the church, to build God's kingdom, to help equip people to spread the good news. But as I always say when I talk about tithes and giving, you don't have to give here. I know that seems weird, and people have told me you're crazy for saying it, but I want you to know we love it when you do. It's a wonderful thing. It helps us to keep growing God's kingdom here. But it's not just about giving to Buckeye. It's about giving what God has blessed you with, to take your money, your stuff and your things, and to give it to build God's kingdom. This could mean so many different things. This could mean to give to some missionaries that you believe in what they're doing. You believe in their work and you're saying, I love what they stand for. I love how they're building God's kingdom. And this is where I want to give. That is tithing. This could be blessing people at your local Kroger grocery store and saying, you know what? I've noticed that people are struggling to pay for things and I have excess. I'm going to pay for their groceries. This could be a charitable organization that is giving help physically, but also is giving the hope of Jesus. Most homeless shelters, most places where they are feeding others, they're also giving the truth of Jesus Christ, and you can give to them. And last but not least, this means helping out those you see in need in this body of believers. To give from what God has blessed you to help someone else here. And that's you just saying, God is so good and He has given me so many blessings, I'm just going to pour it out to others as well. We just can't help give a portion back to glorify God. And then we get to verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So now this first word freaks people out. We're going to be honest and completely honest here. As people, we have a little bit of fear of commitment. That's the way it goes. Oh, I can't say that I'm going to do this because something may come up, or I really just don't want to. You know, we'll say those things as well. But it says that they met every single day. To me, that's amazing. That means every day they talked. Every day they studied. Every day they learned more. And that means they did what? They devoted themselves to following God. And the only way to grow is to truly dive in. Now, I can understand, if you can meet every day, good on you. That's awesome, that's amazing. But most people are going to find themselves the other way. And they may be saying, you know what, I can't meet every day. And we may even go as far to say, you know what, I come on Sundays, so hello, I did my thing, you know. But that's our thought process, is we're like, I was here on Sunday. And imagine, as we're reading this in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and it says, and they met for 1 hour every Sunday. Could you imagine if that's what we read? They devoted themselves to the teaching, and so they met 1 hour every Sunday. I'm going to tell you now, if that's how the first church would have done that, I don't think the church would be here today. I don't think it would have survived. And it's because they knew how important this was. That this was everything. And as I said, now most of us can't do every single day. You can't come into this building and learn and be taught every single day. But you can meet with God every day. You can read His Word right here in front of you. It's right there on your phone. As I said, the app is important. The app right there, it has a Bible button. There are so many I know that have trouble reading. They can't comprehend it that way. Our app, you literally can press play and it will read it to you. There is no excuse for you not to be in God's Word yourself. But then there's other ways that you can be with God every day. You can sing praise to Him. There's so much free worship music out there to sing to. You can go on YouTube, you can go on the radio, you can go almost anywhere and find music to worship God to. You can pray to Him every single day. Go to Him. Talk with Him. No one's holding you back. And then we can meet with fellow believers. And yeah, the church here, we offer quite a few things. We have Bible studies, and we have small groups, and we have deep dives, and men and women's ministry, and we have all these different things that you can be a part of. And even if you went to every single thing, you're talking maybe 12, 15 hours for the week that you would spend here. But we're supposed to devote ourselves to the teachings here. But we have to also make lasting relationships as well. It says that they met in the temple courts. And then what'd they do? They all went to their own homes? No, that's not what it says. It actually says they went to each other's homes to eat. And you can build relationships this way that are real and to help one another in life. It's so important for the church to be together. Not just a bunch of random people who show up all on a Sunday morning and evening and then they leave. No, we're to grow with one another, to do life together. And you know what happens when you do these things? What happens is what happens in verse 47 here. It says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's not that the people had the best church services ever. Well, it was amazing. They didn't have the coolest activities planned out by the church. Well, they offered laser tag, and so I met some awesome people. That's not what happened. What was happening here is that the people were being authentic and true. They were being real. They were trying to follow God, and they were being open and honest with each other. And because of this authenticity, people could tell that this means something to them. This was important. And it says that the Lord added to their numbers daily. They didn't have to do anything special. They didn't have the best program. No, the Lord was working through them. They didn't have to bribe people to come in. Well, we're going to have a $1,000 raffle, so bring your friends. That's not what happened at all. They just wanted to share how God has changed their life. And what happened was the people, the church, they were being the church. And it was all because of their devotion to God. Lives were changed. And this is the dream. This is the goal. When we read Acts 2, 42 through 47, this is what all churches want to do. This is the purpose of the church. This is the purpose of Buckeye, to devote ourselves to God's word, to praise God together, and to be authentic in this life with one another so we can glorify God. When we are being the church, it can be an amazing and beautiful and wonderful thing. So let's take the example from Acts and let's devote ourselves to it.
We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.